Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I'm very happy. I had a question come in, and I'm thrilled about answering that question. Glory be to God. And hold on, let me find it here. First of all, glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So, April sent a question, and it is something that's going on right now. With all that is in the news, would love to answer the question, what does the Bible say about immigrants? Heard out of secular news is saying some of Trump supporters are supporting his aggressive policies because they claim the Bible does. She said, that's not what I remember ever reading in the Old Testament about aliens and sojourners. Great question. This is large and in charge in the news in a big way. And one of the things we do here at Word of Life is to teach, the Lord teaches us how to think biblically concerning things and not just get caught up in the secularity of the news. You follow me? Because, you know, when we were growing up, we just listened to the news. Yeah. We just read the newspaper. We didn't know there was a biblical worldview, a secular worldview. We didn't know that. At least I didn't. I know y'all was born holy in halos, but not me. I ain't know nothing about that. So this is exciting for me because every time I see something and hear it, I'm like, okay, Lord, how should we think about this? Because remember, we have what? The mind of Christ. So you just don't just think like the world thinks. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed through the renovating of our mind. Thank God for the process. Thank God that can happen. That's a promise to us that we don't have to think like the world. And it tells us how we can change.
Amen.
Through our minds being renovated with the Word of God.
Amen.
So with this immigration situation, and for those of you who don't know, I just want to kind of give a little bit background on it. So for parents and children coming from the South, crossing the southern border into the United States, President Trump has put out back in April, like late April, a policy law that once the child and the parent come across the border into the United States, they are to be separated. So you are to take the child from the parent and you detain the parent, and then you split, put the child over into like a holding thing. That's policy. President Trump's policy. That's in effect now. Now, I know whenever anybody defend Trump for any few seconds, you're just ready to kill him. Just hear the whole thing. So first of all, that's harsh, and that's right. But, and again, you can't believe what comes out of a politician's mouth hardly ever, because even though the intent is this way, it can be that way. But it has been said by Trump supporters in the White House that one of the reasons this was being done was to deter aliens coming into the United States. So if this happened, then maybe I'm not coming. It's a deterrent. Now, I'm not saying that's the right way. But on the other hand, it is a problem that is out of hand. Because if you look at it, two terms of President Obama, Bush, Clinton, President Clinton, and the other Bush, all of them sort of bypassed this down. They never really did anything through it, and they kind of, some just ignored it, others half did something to it, and they kind of just left, and President Obama his immigration policies are pretty lenient. And so folk was coming over expecting, and so he kind of inherited a mess. He inherited a mess. And so I think desperate measures, and that's not the right move. Like someone said that I think they did not realize how big the problem was. So in that 1 month time, from the time he enacted it, late April to late May, almost 3,000 children were detained in 1 month's time. Separated from their parents. I don't think they have a clue. Even when trying to go into the internet to put together some information, what is immigration law? You hear things like, it's very complex. It's really this, that, and the other. And it's a shame on America that not only President Trump, but almost all the presidents previous, no one has really done anything about this. And it's a mess. And when you see a mess like this, two things come to mind. Well, two things. One is the question, what does the Bible say about this? And secondly, the devil is a god of this world system, and we're seeing just confusion. Let me. I'm reading from an excerpt from Albert Moeller. He says here, quote, there's an even greater moral crisis related to children and immigration behind the most urgent headline. And I fault the mainstream media for giving inadequate coverage to this reality. See, that's why I'm saying you, Word of Life, what I want us to be is thinkers. Amen? Thinkers. That's what we don't do anymore. We don't think. We just sit there and let stuff just wash over us, and we're just so passive and so inactive. That's not the way God didn't give you a brain to sit there and let somebody feed it. Amen. It's a muscle to be used. That's why you just don't just accept secular headlines and news stories. Because in the headlines, it tells you there's 11,000. Help me find it. 11,400 children and adolescents in federal custody right now. 11,400 children and adolescents in federal custody right now. But what the headlines are not telling you, see, now that makes you think that there's separation.
Yeah.
So I know they put getting pressure was being put on them, but hold on. Let me. 11,400. That's what the news headline is reading. But what's not in there because of the fact that it's in this time where they're being separated. What's the first thing we're going to think that there's 11,400 that's been separated from the? But that's not the case. Let's keep reading. In federal custody right now, there are no less than 11,400 children and adolescents. They are right now in federal custody. The vast majority of them were not separated from their parents. Rather, they came over the border illegally on their own. And because they are children, they are minors, and they are now in federal custody, we're now looking at a crisis of the federal government offering and responsible for child care and the care of many adolescents who are now in federal custody. The federal government is now a huge daycare center. There's a Walmart down there called Casa Padre. Now think about, I know my friend, that's a father's house. Well, in there is a school, a daycare, I mean, it's just a big old warehouse with just thousands of adolescents fleeing the land. Someone might ask, well, knowing that you're going to get your child separated from you, knowing you may be detained, why are you still coming? Why would you try? Because that's how bad it is where they're coming from.
Amen. Where are they coming from?
From Mexico.
Mexico. Other parts.
Yeah. Yeah, for most of them down in there, just terrible. And they're like, you know what? I'd rather just chance it. I mean, you're chancing your child, especially the female, to go into to be trafficked. You're chancing death. Many have died. You're chancing, if you make it all the way over there, you're chancing being in prison, because it is a federal crime to come into America illegally.
Pastor, can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
I know we as Christians, we are to be merciful and compassionate, but we also got to remember that if you're coming over illegal, you're disobeying the laws of the land, of the government. And that's what the Bible teaches, that you're supposed to obey the law.
Yeah.
And although, I mean, I feel for all those children. I'm sure we all do and people, but like I say, it's gotten to this point now where it's being recognized, but it should have been dealt with.
Yeah, decades ago.
Decades.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we want to find out. How do we look at this? Because see, the laws of the land are being broken. Now, I'm not saying again that he's dealing with it the right way, but he's trying to do something.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying it's the right way. I'm not saying that. But having said that, I do want to get into some word here and kind of see. Because I, as your pastor, I question whether or not there should be an immigration law, whether or not it's illegal to come into. I'm not saying, but how I read scripture, I'm not saying that's what I'm 100% gamble dropping certainty. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, should that have even been a law? Is it, you know, should that even be? That's just my question. Now, because it is a law and you break it, you got to have consequences. It is a law. You follow that?
Yeah.
Okay. If it is a law, break it, you got to deal with the consequences. I'm just saying, should it even be a law? That's what I'm saying. It's just my question. Because my question is, first of all, immigration. Let's give some definitions. Immigration. We're going to go definition of immigration. Immigrate, which is the verb of immigration. And then immigrant. So immigration is an act or instance of immigrating, meaning to travel into a country for the purpose of permanent residence there. You travel into a country for the purpose of permanent residence there. That's immigration. To travel into a country for the purpose of permanent residence there. That's the purpose. Immigrate, the verb, means to enter and usually become established, especially to come into a country of which one is not a native for permanent residence. So it's basically the same thing, it's just a different form of the word. To enter and usually become established, to come into a country of which one is not a native for permanent residence, meaning you weren't born there, for permanent residence. And then immigrant is a person who comes to a country to take up permanent residence. I asked the Lord as I was meditating on this afternoon and seeking guidance from him on how to answer this. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what happened to, anybody know what's on the, at the base of the Statue of Liberty? It's an arm, it's a head. It's a dress down here. Anybody know what's at the base of that? There's a plaque on it. Anybody know what that says down there? Who am I, historian? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. I'm going to read that to you. This is what's at the base of it. at Liberty Harbor and then Ellis Island, a few things. There were 12, 13 million that came in during that time. I wonder what happened. I said, Lord, what happened to this? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuge, which is really talking about garbage, you know, this is how they were made to feel. The wretched refuse of your teeming shores, send these, the homeless, the tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door, written by Emma Lazarus. That is on the base of the Statue of Liberty. Yes. Give me your tired, your poor. Give me your tired, not the rich and the affluent. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free because they are under the tyranny of poverty, of war-torn destruction. The same reason this is Europe was under all these wars. Come on. The wretched refuge of your teeming shore. That means that the shores in Europe, all over Europe, were teeming or were full and overcrowded for people needing to escape. Because how did they come over here? Planes? Got on ships. So you got the shore with just a muckload, just like over in various countries now. People are, there's all kind of people there. And whether you're trying to get out of Africa or parts of Colombia or Mexico, when you go to the shore where you know a ship is coming, you just had a crowd of people. And so in that line, it says, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores, those wanting to escape, send them over here. Who? The homeless. That phrase, even back then. Tempest tossed to me. Send them to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. I'm showing you this is where to come. I said, Lord, whatever happened to that? To me, that sounds like the Bible.
Yeah.
Now, what happened? What happened to that? Liberty holding up a light. Some people the way. And they came in droves by the millions. Then what happened? I don't know. Was it because of European? Is it ethnicity things, the people group thing? No, I don't know. Because they're coming for the same reasons. Yes, ma'am. Look at Leviticus chapter 19. You want me to repeat something? Ms. Harris? Look at Leviticus chapter 19. Oh, you're doing that money sign. What? Well, they were poor too, so I don't know how this thing more of a drain or.
What's the nationality of the person that wrote
it? Emma Lazarus, I'm assuming probably some European, I would assume. I'm not sure. Emma Lazarus sounds like just a regular European name, I would assume.
Leviticus chapter
19. Huh? Oh, Leviticus chapter 19. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm not sure. Verse 33. And by the way, that did not achieve any sort of fame until after she died. They really wasn't too crazy about that in the beginning. After she died, then it was, you know, then it started to take hold, but it wasn't while she was alive. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33. When a stranger sojourns, when you're gonna hear sojourner, sojourner, that's the immigrant with you. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger, another word for sojourner, another word for immigrant, who sojourns with you, you will treat him as the native, the one who was born there among you. And you shall love him as you love yourself. Because he's telling the people of God, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And then he finishes up, I'm the Lord your God. That's why you do it, because I told you to. And if anybody ought to be merciful toward immigrants, which I understand President Obama being a black man, ought to be black people, because we were once that way. And in some ways, kind of still feel that way. So if anybody ought to be compassionate, Because it's heart-wrenching. I can only, if you just think it through and sit down enough, you'll get depressed enough to go get some Prozac to come up out of it. Because you think about those thousands and thousands of children who came over with parents and no longer have a parent. Can you imagine the emotional trauma that they're going through right now? It is unbelievable. I know what it's like to quote unquote lose a parent suddenly. It is a traumatic experience. He said, you're to treat them just like you're to treat us.
What about going to another land and killing those natives?
Okay, what do you mean now?
Like how we came to America and we killed all the Native Americans and took over their land.
Okay, yeah. Right, right. That is colonization. That's a whole different thing from immigration. Colonization was always brutality. That's, you go in and you just brutally take over people's land. That's not what we're talking about here.
Okay.
Yeah, not at all. Good question. We're not talking about that. Okay, I don't want to take too many. I want to keep going, but go ahead. Yeah.
So those were two factors on why the children were separated from
right.
the so-called parents, especially if they couldn't back it up with documentation or anything to prove.
Right.
Because they may be saving these children from a life of hell.
Yeah. But
in the hands of these adults that aren't really.
Right, exactly. And the third reason is, too, when the adults are separated, they can't take their children, you can't arrest the child. So once the adult is arrested, they have to sometimes separate them too. So there are some factors behind that, but it just shows you when you don't do things God's way. So I'm not giving a definitive answer, but I'm asking, should this even be a law based on what we just read, run over, based on what we just read, should this be a law? Now I'm not talking about protecting your borders from terrorists and things like that. I'm not talking about that, because that's a whole different animal all by itself. Making sure that when people land, that's why you gotta almost have to dress, just be half naked just to get onto the plane, because they make you take off everything almost, you know. Checking this, checking that, x-raying this. I'm just talking about immigration, this issue. Now, let's not go off into all the others, because the others, yes, there's Homeland Security, exactly right. And those are very good points, too. That's why it's a quagmire. It's a hot mess. It is a hot mess. So I just wonder, Lord, was this supposed to be in the beginning? Or was it supposed to stay with giving your tired, your poor, your huddled masses? I don't know per se, but seemingly here, look at Exodus. You can just write it down. Exodus 22:21. You shall not wrong sojourners or oppress him. For you were sojourners in the land. It almost says the same, Exodus 22:21. And there's just a ton of them. There's a ton of them on here. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 19. It is a complex problem. It is a complex problem with the advent of child sex slavery that just multiplies things even on a greater degree. But I guess what I'm saying is, what we need to do is we need to continue to pray for the situation and try to see this thing, see this situation as best we can through the eyes of God, and then just kind of go from there. But it's not a simple thing, yes.
And also, I think the thing we'll call to is, even as we investigate, and that's a good point, they could be being sold into sex trafficking. But it really is when it says to treat them as yourself. Are you stripping them of their humanity while you're doing it? Are they coming to our country and you're assuming evil?
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking away their dignity? They did that to black people.
Yeah.
That's what we're asking. We understand that it's complex. And we're saying investigate. We're saying don't strip them of their humanity.
Yeah.
And don't be overly cruel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, that's what the Word of God is telling us here. One verse we just read, Treat the stranger as you would yourself. Deuteronomy 27, verse 19. Mm-hmm. Just rereading. Treat him as you would yourself. Love him as yourself. Treat him as a native. I love that. Do your investigation. We need you to do that. But at the same time, as she said, do not strip them of their humanity. There's a way to do that. Look, Deuteronomy 27, 19. Cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner. See, that's a powerful phrasing. Due to the sojourner. You owe a modicum of respect and dignity to this human being.
What is the definition of a sojourner?
An immigrant.
But is it temporary?
No. So in this case, we're going to use it as one who comes to reside permanently. So they've been at your land, don't have anywhere to go. And while they're in this state of transition, those around us, the natives who are born there, need to treat them with respect. In this case, we're talking about the government. So we're taking this scripture, and when you see things like those who pervert justice, we're talking about the government who first meets these immigrants, these sojourners, who first meets them, in other words, at the border, that we then treat them with a modicum of respect. Now, it's not even about per se letting them stay. We're just saying be humane in your treatment. Does that make sense? Because that's what we as Almighty God, children of God, you still owe respect. And I know it's controversial when you tell black people, when the black pastor, black people just don't like to hear that. But the Bible did not condemn slavery. It didn't. But what it condemned was the treatment. It condemned the kidnapping and the inhumane treatment of people. So don't just, you know, I'll tell the dean of students, I'm like, hear what I'm saying. Because it was the treatment that was so horrible. The kidnapping. The Bible said you're not, they call kidnapping in the Bible, men stealers. That's kidnapping. They were kidnapped. So the whole root of slavery was rooted on the wrong thing, which was kidnapping, which the Bible says don't do. And then a slave is a sojourner in your land. Said to treat him as yourself. Love him as yourself. So even when starting this out, I still don't know how this is going to go. But clarity is coming forth. It's look at the treatment. And if nothing else, it's not about them staying or not, per se. It's about, Lord, move on the law enforcement to treat these people with respect. And Father God, the ones that you want to move here, you'll make a way for them to move here and save them in the name of Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you something. It may sound a little crazy, and maybe I'm stretching the verse a little bit, but just bear with me. Genesis 12 and 1, so God told Abraham, get out of his country, away from his kindred folks. What is that going to make him? An immigrant. Ooh, that's a little different, isn't it? He called him to immigration. Immigrate away from your people. You are going to be a stranger. And where did they end up? Ended up down in Egypt. A little bitty pocket down there. Look, there's a few of them. And God took that little group of immigrants and grew them into a great nation, out of which come the Messiah. So I said, Lord, you can use immigrants.
Amen.
You certainly can. That's why we need to be careful. Amen. So look at here. Look at Psalm 146, verse 9. Psalm 146, 9. Just write them down. Psalm 146, if you can turn it quick enough, fine. But Psalm 146, 9. The Lord watches over the sojourners. Uh-oh. Now, whether or not they coming up in here for whatever reasons, God is saying, I'm watching. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. Better watch yourself, the United States. But it might be terrorists. Didn't say he weren't. Just do your due diligence within the law of God. Didn't Cain kill Abel? Wasn't he a murderer? God said, don't you touch them. Not for just out of, and by the way, that command by God about don't you touch Cain, even though he did commit murder, that's the law that cancels vigilante justice. You can't take matters into your own hands. Yeah, you can't do that. You can't go yourself and kill. Well, he killed me, and I'm finna. Nope, I got laws for that dude. Calm down. It cancels vigilante justice. Even murdering Cain, God had rules for, hold on a minute. They might be terrible. There may be some terrible, terrible things going on. And I know there is in them groups. We know there's some ugly things going on. We know it. But still, we have a Father God that we must report to. Does that make sense?
Amen.
That's how we need to think about it. Again, talking about that. So he watches over the sojourners. Look, write it down. Zechariah, Z-E-C-H-A-R-I-A-H. Zechariah. Chapter 7, verse 9. Write it down. Zechariah 7, 9 and 10. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. That's all we're asking for America to do. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, which they're going to fit in those too. Some of our widows too. And leave none of you, and let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Malachi 3 and 5. Malachi 3 and 5. And it's good because what I want, well, hopefully, to force you to do is. Tonight, tomorrow, and on to Sunday, you go through the verses yourself. Malachi 3 and 5. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. For what reason? For judgment. You know, everyone got to tell you that. I'm drawing near to you. Oh, great. For judgment. Oh, no. This is going to be well. Can't God draw near to us anytime for judgment? Woo, thank God for mercy. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, the adulterers, those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner. And do not fear me, said the Lord of hosts. You do it without even thinking, no, anything twice about God. He said, I'm going to draw near for judgment. Malachi chapter 3, verse 5. God ain't playing. Jesus, remember about the you didn't do the works and everything, and he said, well, when did we see you hungry and so forth? He said, for I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. But to the ones who didn't do it, he said, I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink, and I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. The stranger. And like I said, that I know we're trying to fit this into today's context, but that doesn't mean let everybody in, but I love the warning to watch how you treat them. Even if you send them back into that horror that they've come out of, and I feel sad for them about that, but the thing about it is, they still have to answer to God because they are, government is a tool of God. They're ministers of God. And they don't have the right just to do whatever they want to do. Hebrews 13, verse 2. Hebrews 13, 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, immigrants, sojourners, for thereby some have entertained angels without knowing it. You don't think an angel is in one of those children? I wouldn't doubt it. You don't know. He said, "You without you knowing it, you've entertained it." He said, so show hospitality. Provisions for the sojourner. You know, you're supposed to leave your land. And they're supposed to help feed them and things like that. Then we ought to always obey God rather than man. Some people said, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. It is a law. Sister Phyllis pointed out. It is a law. And since it is a law, it's a law that has to be dealt with. When you break the law, you have to be punished. Be judicious in your doling out of the punishment. Make sure that the punishment meets the crime. You know, that it's eye for an eye, not an eye for a head. And I don't know again what all that look at. Listen, I got answers. But what we can best do as you go forth in our prayers is to pray for the humane treatment of those children and the real, and be sympathetic, empathize where they're fleeing from. They're coming here, a lot of them, for a better America, I believe. Although there are those who do have ill intentions. And pray for President Trump.
Amen.
And there's been so much backlash from him that we just found out recently, and he did just this afternoon, rescinded that order.
Executive order,
yes. But it's a mess. It's a mess. I know people won't hear these words, but I do feel for Trump. And as a Christian, you should. That's a mess, a hot mess amongst all other kind of stuff. Yes, ma'am.
We want to know what Bible they got it out of. Because look at what we done got out of ours, this great big chunk just from this little bit of time. So, well, whatever they got, what's talking about, they got it out the Bible.
Yeah, see.
That can't be the same what we've been reading.
Right. Right, and that's why I'm glad you said that too, because you can misuse it in a moment if you don't know. Look at all that we read, and I just read to you. I had probably like 40 verses. I gave you about maybe 10, maybe.
Maybe it's just a snippet.
7 verses. I had about 40 verses that talk about how to treat them, provide for them, and this and the other. Now I understand it's not that simple. Mr. Denise really brought in a very good point. But I love the understanding, though, there's still a way to do things. Remember, the Word of God said, let all things be done in decency and in order. And that wasn't necessarily decency and order per se, although there were reasons behind it, too. Even that is complex. But the problem is it was ignored for the most part by decades and decades of many, many presidents before him. And secondly, I wonder, because of the Word of God, I wonder, should it even be a law?
I guess that people would have followed the Word, and then maybe they could prevent chaos, mm-hmm. and prevent these kinds of things from happening.
Absolutely. I do believe that. And that's why I think the right attitude was, give us your heart tired and poor, because you didn't have that problem back
in
at Ellis Island. Millions came in. Millions came in.
That's why I say the bottom line is it's still about money. Because what you want, what the reasoning behind it, the men and them from coming in so that we can have more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a us and a they thing. You know what I mean? We need more, so we don't want them to take what we have. You know what I mean? So it's still about boiling down to
yeah.
You know, it's just because we're so angry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do think it is greed and racial. Yes, ma'am.
What's ironic about is President Trump's mother was an immigrant.
And his wife, too. Yeah. I mean, it really is. Right, to be honest with you. Right, we're all immigrants.
And they benefit
from
the
immigrants.
Chained migration.
Yeah.
That's how most of the Europeans. Like it's okay for the Europeans, but every other ethnic group.
Right.
You know, they find all these reasons, greed, you know,
yeah.
To rich, richer and keep us.
Right.
Submissive.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I do think it's economic, it's racial, it's all unbiblical.
Hate
and greed. Yeah, and
ungodly.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. It's ungodly. And, you know, again, how do we look at this? Well, we look at what it's what we know this is what it should be. And Lord God, you know, we're going to pray over the situation. And even if we don't know really how to pray for this, we're going to say, well, at least, Lord, have them get somewhere near the model that we believe, as we understand your word, that this need, way this need to go.
Social services was started by Christians because only Christians have the heart of Christ. And we forget that. We forget that we move to do things like this to help, to give them back their dignity, to sort out things and have a clear mind and think and say, is this trafficking or is this a parent? And that's what says, allow them to have their dignity. And that's where I think the Lord is really whooping his church and saying, you know, you're so complacent. You just let them feed you because you don't want to think, you don't want to lose things. You don't want to sacrifice. But the life of a Christian is a life of sacrifice for the glory of God. So will we do it or will we won't?
And we in there, I hear that admonition, as I admonish, the Lord admonishes us too, to not just think like the world thinks. Don't be greedy like them or think, well, that's, you know, I think if we hear this, and this is at a crisis level, and knowing that 11,400 plus are housed in a warehouse for whatever reason, and we have no empathy or sympathy in our hearts, how dwelleth the love of God in us? That ought to move us to at least pray, you know. And if the Lord even send it down there for whatever reason, down to Texas, this is in Texas towards the Walmart warehouse.
Can we send notes?
I wish we could. It's in the sermon down there. But Lord, bring some order to this. Because this is disorder. This is out of order. It's out of control. And I'm not sure. I mean, God, indeed, thank God he's God, because trying to figure out us how to do these things. Forget it. But God can. And Lord God, you just have your way on this. And even then though, like we talked about on Sunday, even in tragedy, he's sovereign, and he's using it for his glory. You don't understand how, but he's still getting glory from this, because in eternity past, he saw this reach. He saw that this immigration situation was going to reach a crisis level. He saw that. He saw 11,400 children. Can you imagine that in federal custody? They are a glorified daycare center. Amazing. That's a lot of children.
Yes, it is.
That's a lot of children. So we need to, come on, sis, we're going to pray.
Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your